The topic of tznius is a very broad topic with many, many halachas, many laws. I was asked to speak specifically about levushim, clothes, garments, and more specifically about the power of the garment coat. Are there any powers to garments? Indeed. As we know, the whole union of clothes, that we have to wear garments, only began after Chet Eitz Hadas. Before Chet Eitz Hadas, there was no such a thing. People didn't Adam and Chava, and if they wouldn't have sinned with the Chet Eitz Hadas, people would have never had to wear any clothes. The whole union of garment only began with the Chet Eitz Hadas. The Chet Eitz Hadas not only brought that henceforth people have to wear garments, but also brought about the inyan fun misa. If Adam Rishon wouldn't have sinned, people would have lived forever. Without Chet Eitz Hadas, no other sin would have ever occurred in the history of mankind. Chet Egel is explained in Chazal. It's only because Adam Rishon and Chava sinned with the Chet Eitz Hadas. Consequently, this brought about the Chet Egel, which this in turn brought about Golus, what we are suffering already in one Golus, another Golus, in this long night of Golus. Everything began with the Chet Eitz Hadas. And Chet Eitz Hadas is called Eitz Hadas Tovara. It wasn't completely exclusively Ra. It was also something of good. Likewise also in garments. There's a great union of Toiv. Garments can bring to a person to a very high level of ruchnius and goodness, just like the Eitz Hadas. On the other hand, garments, chasve shalom, rachmon etzel, if not, they are not kosher garments, can bring a ra, just like the Chet Eitz Hadas and Chet Egel. This is what, if a person doesn't wear proper garments, since the garments come from Chet Eitz Hadas, this is the consequence. And let me cite some examples. Yankov Avinu, as you know, the Oves HaKdoshim, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, the Bet Merkove, for Avromim for Chesed, not simple Chesed, but Chesed of Atzilus, Chesed Esav, to the extent that the Midah of Chesed is brought on Nechsides from Sefer HaBoyer, which even preceded the Zohar. The middle of Chesed of Atzilus, the sphere of Chesed, complained to David there, was envious. Since Avromavinu came around, I don't have to do anything of Chesed. Avromavinu does everything instead of me. Chesed of Atzilus, which is Ein Sof, Avromavinu substituted this madrega of Chesed. Yitzchak was the Merkove of Gvure, of Yiras Hashem, and Yankov, Tiferes, is Midas of Emes. Yankov is the Midas of Emes. And not only the Emes of Atzilus, but as the Torah tells us, Titen Emes Le Yankov. Deibishter gave extra Emes to Yankov to the extent that Alter Rebbe asks in Tanya, Chi Ein Emes Be Yankov, just like Avrom is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvure, Avrom Yankov is Emes. So why does the Torah have to say Titen Emes Le Yankov, Vechi Ein Emes Be Yankov, the Alter Rebbe asks? And the Alter Rebbe answers, Yankov was the Pchilshe Be'ovois, he surpassed in Madrege both Avrom and Yitzchak, and he not only had the Emes of Ishtashus till Atzilus, which simply terms means, which humanly, a Tzadik, a Kodesh can attain the Madrege of Emes, the Eibishter gave for Yankovino Emes completely higher than Ishtashelus, higher than Atzilus, beyond the capacity of any person to be able to attain it, achieve it on his own. This is the Madrega of Yankov. Titan Emes, Emes, which is even higher, the highest Madrega of Atzilus or Ishtashelus, which is humanly possible. So this is the Madrega of Yankovino Emes. So then we can ask the question, if Avrom Yankov, it's not only the epitome of Emes, human Emes, But heil kiddushe, heiden atzilis, heiden ishtalshus, blikvul of emes. How could Yankov tell a lie and cheat his father, Yitzchak? And when he wanted to obtain the blessings, what did he say? Onoichi Esav b'chorecha. Everybody knows what Rashi explains. It wasn't mamish, an outright lie or a deception. He said, Onoichi Misha, Onoichi, I'm who I am. I'm Yankov. And yes, Esav b'chorecha, but Esav is b'chorecha. This is something which for a child or only person can say, this is emes. Isn't this a deception? Isn't Gnevas Das misleading his father? Is this emes? And especially emes, which is titan emes, Yankov Eibishter gives this madrig of emes. How could he do such a thing? Of Hishudis, emes la mitoi, to come to such a to deceive and to lie and to cheat his father. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Moedika Shaila. The answer for this is Rivka Forsa, that Yankov, it's impossible he should say something which is not emes. He's going to come, even if it's a mitzvah kibbut of aim, and he wants to obtain the blessing, the brachas, but he comes and tells young Yitzchak, as I'm Esav, he starts stuttering, he starts to get nervous, and he betrayed that he's not Yankov, he's not Esav. So Rivka, through Nevuah, said that the only way how Yankov can obtain the brachas, she had to put on the garments of Esav, as everybody knows what it says in Chumash. She put on the garments of Esav. Once she put on the garments of Esav upon Yankov, even Yankov, the Bechir Shebeova is greater than Avraham Avinu, greater than Yitzchak, than Yitzchak. Yankov, the ultimate level of emes. Once you get dressed like a goy, your attitude, your mindset, and you then becomes like a goy, and you can say a sheker, even Yankov. But we see here a moedike thing. If a person is dressed like a yid, your whole mentality, in the shomer, your behavior is like a yid. If Rachmon Letzon, even Yankov Avinu, as soon as he puts on the garments of Esav, Yankov, Yankov, can become Rachmon Letzon, a liar, and this is what the Torah tells us. So we see the tremendous power of clothes. We say the power of garments. Do garments have any power? Here we see this example. Let me give you another example. What Germany did to us recently in our generation, everybody knows. 150 years ago, the Jews lived in Germany peacefully, had no problems with the Goyim. And suddenly, within a few years, Germany turned around, began oppressing the Jews, the pogroms, harassments, and a lot of oppressions against the Jews. And without any rhyme or reason, a big famous rabbi, a Yekisherov in Germany, wrote to the Mendele Rimanover. He was the foremost disciple, the Talmud, the Chose Lublin. He asked him, Rebbe, tell me, what's the reason suddenly the Germans became so anti-Semitic and started to harass and persecute the Yidden without any reason? What did Mendele Rimanover answered him? I have this letter, I saw this letter. He told him, the reason for all these persecutions is the Goyim. You lived for so many years, good and well with them, and suddenly became so anti-Semitic. Because until then, it was the custom of men to button their jackets from right to left. Suddenly, the Yidden adopted the Goyish minhag. Men started to button their jackets from left to right. Until then, everybody, both men and women even now, button from right to left. Until then, till 150 years ago, even Yidden buttoned their jackets or their coats, their kapotes, from right to left, and suddenly became, they adopted the mother, the custom, the non-Jewish custom, and they start to button their jackets from left to right. And explains in the letter. It says right, the tzad of kedusha, tzad of chesed. Left, the tzad of lumazeh, klipas, gvure. As long as the right side of your jacket is on top of the left side, kedusha predominates, prevails, and everything was okay. They had respect for the Eden. Suddenly adopted their lifestyle, their dressing code. The Eden started to button from left to right, so gave the koyach for klippers, for lumazeh, for tzadak, gures, over chesed, and this is the reason. And it says, and tell those Eden in Germany, they should go back to the minhag from Avoseinu. They should button, like a yid buttons from right to left, so all these problems will vanish or stop. I myself saw several times about the Verbrengers. I used to usually stand very near to the Rebbe. I've seen a number of times when somebody would come over to Lachaim, to the Rebbe. The Rebbe noticed this person buttons from left to right. The Rebbe would tell him, start from now buttoning from right to left. The Ashgacha Prot is this week's Kfar Chabad. If you read, there's an article about Rav Zevin. His grandson writes about Rav Zevin, and there in this article, the Rebbe, he also mentions how the Rebbe said to a very, very prominent Rav, who also buttoned from left to right, so the Rebbe told him, there he mentions Ashgar Protis, so the Rebbe also mentioned they should start buttoning from right to left. So what do we see? The koyach of the power of a garment can chas v'sholom, such a trivial, insignificant thing. What's the difference? How you button your jacket? It can cause a persecution, an oppression, an harassment of Yidden in Germany. So far, I only mentioned the union for the power of garments in a negative sense. The Yankiv. Even this great, great Yankiv, Chas v'Sholom, he starts to dress himself like a non-Jew, what it can cost to his neshama, and same thing also here with the buttons. Let me say also, in Kedusha, the power of garments. As we know, a Kohen, his function is the Beis HaMikdash, to bring a kapore, atonement for the averes of Am Yisrael, especially a Kohen Godel. So the din is in Chazal, in Halach, in Rambam, when does the Kohen have this power that he can bring in from a kapore? Not the person himself, the Kohen himself, only he puts on the garments of the priestly garments of the Kohen Godel. If he doesn't have the garments, the levushi from a Kohen Godel, he's ineffective, he cannot bring any kapore. So the Maimon von Tzemach Tzedek, he mentions his, what do we see from here? The garments are superior to the person himself. He be a Kohen Godel, such a tzaddik, it's a Kohen Godel. But when does he have, when is he effective to atone for averes? It's only when he has the garments. The garments are even more powerful than the person who wears the garments. And then the Tzemach Tzedek also discusses at length what the Gemara says in Erechin. A Kohen Godel put on 8 garments, 8 levushim. Sneef in Choshen and Ephod and so on, 8 different levushim. And the Gemara mentions how each individual specific garment, how this brings a kapore for Shvichas Domim, this garment brings a kapore for Shvichas Domim, this garment brings a kapore for Gilarayas, Meridike, the most heinous Averes. After the garments and each specific individual garments of the 8 garments, how they affect a kapore for this balavere. So Tzemach Tzedek says, what do we see from here? The levushim are even more powerful and greater than the person who wears this levushim. Let me give you another example in Kedusha, the power of garments. Once a chosid came to Tzemach Tzedek, and he came to the Tzemach of Yechides. And Tzemach Tzedek asked this chosid, who are you? He said, Rebbe, I was here by Yechides by you last year, so how come you don't know who I am? So the Tzemach Tzedek says again, I don't know who you are. Who are you? Tell me who are you are. And as mentioned several times, until the Tzemach says, "Oh, it's you." Tzemach said, "I didn't recognize you." Why didn't he recognize him? Tzemach Tzedek said, "Last year you went with levushim, posh, ordinary levushim. This time you started to wear more chsidische, more frumel levushim. It changed it completely that I didn't recognize your face. I recognize your whole personality. You became a different mensch." That's what Tzemach Tzedek said. As soon as he started to wear, like a chsidish person, your garments, you changed that I didn't recognize you. And Tzemach Tzedek couldn't recognize anybody, but Tzemach Tzedek wanted to emphasize what can change. Mamish yesh me'ayin. Before you wear such a garments, and afterwards you wear chsidish garments, you became a different person. Your face and your whole personality, the whole person changed. Now let us understand. Since garments have this power, the toivera, we said just like Het Eitzadas, for us, we mentioned with Yankov Avinu and with the Baptists in Germany, the toiv, Kohen Godel, as the Tzemach Tzedek says, the garments have a greater power, even the one who wears those garments. So let us understand, where do the garments have such a koyach? Where they have such a power, even more than the person who wears those garments? Again, we find the answer in Chassidus, in Tanya. The Alter Rebbe, at the beginning of Tanya, discusses the two nefesh, the nefesh elikis and nefesh abamis. Then the Alter Rebbe discusses nefesh elikis itself, this nefesh ruach neshama. Chayichi, the Alter Rebbe doesn't discuss in Tanya, at least not begilui. And then the Alter Rebbe says, in addition to nefesh ruach neshama, which every Yiddish neshama has, but the nefesh elikis, nefesh abamis has nefesh ruach neshama, the neshamas also have garments, just like our physical body has garments. The neshama has also garments. The Alter Rebbe says the garments of the neshama are more than the thing which the Alter Rebbe mentions here. The Alter Rebbe says, "V'ne shloishe levushim perik dalet." After he discusses the nefesh elikis, nefesh abamis, and nefesh ruach neshama, then the Alter Rebbe says, corresponding to a physical body, the neshama, it also has garments. And then he says, "V'ne shloishe levushim elu." These three garments, Machshove, Dibor, and Maise, which discusses the beginning of the chapter, the Neshama's three garments, what are the garments, the Nefesh, and the Machshove, Dibor, Maise. Afshin, Ikrim, Levushim, although they are merely called garments, as we know, a garment is secondary, completely unimportant, to the body. The body is the most important thing. The garment is only something which you take it off, is secondary. And nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe says, "Afshe nikroim levushim lenefesh ruach neshama im kolz." And nevertheless, "Gvoim vegodlo gvo vegodlo malosom ein kets v'sof al malos nefesh ruach neshama." These garments of nefesh of machshov dibur maise are infinitely superior and higher and greater than even that body, the nefesh ruach neshama itself. Just like the Tzemach Tzedek said, the garments of a kohen gadol are far greater than Kohen Gadol himself. The garments of the Neshama, Refesh, Ruach Neshama, of Machshov Dibur Maise, are far greater than any case, the Alter Rebbe says. Look it up, in Perik Dalet in Tanya. Are far greater than the garments than the Neshama itself. How can such a thing be? But anyways, let me just tell you, we can understand from the Ruchin's the garments, that Gashmi's the garments, from Gashmi's the garments, Ruchin's the garments. Everybody knows the story of Mittel Rebbe. It was once by the Rebbe Rishab. The Rebbe Rishab was eating a meal with some of his chassidim, and suddenly the Rezo comes in very excited. He brings a newspaper from France. I'm sure everybody knows the story. And he says in this newspaper, it's just reported that they discovered a new vein in the brain, which is located just behind the ear. So the Rezo was very much excited that suddenly they discovered a new vein in the brain. The Rebbe Rishab didn't react at all to this news, which his brother was so excited about. But after they finished the meal, the Rebbe Shab said to everybody who was sitting by the table, says, please stay for a while, I'd like to show you something. That the Rebbe Shab went into his study and brought out a little safer, a Ksaviyat, a manuscript from Mitre Rebbe, and he started to read to them that the Mitre Rebbe says, behind the eid is a vein. And now, the scientists in France, when they discovered this vein, they still didn't understand, didn't know the purpose, the function of this vein in the brain. But the Mitre Rebbe there also mentions the function, and he says, when we see, when a person wants to remember something, he lifts up his head. You want to remember a telephone number or the name of somebody, you lift up your head. When a person wants to immerse himself, to concentrate deeper, to understand something deeper, we see a person puts down his head. So Mitre Rebbe says, what's the reason for this? When you remember, you lift up your hand to remember something, and to immerse yourself, you put down. So the Mitre Rebbe says, in this mimer, it all depends. When you lift up the head, this vein puts the pressure on this lobe of the brain. When you put down your head, then it puts the pressure on this part of the brain, and then it helps for concentration. So then the Rebbe Shab said, do you think really the Mitre Rebbe was a doctor, he knew the anatomy of a human being, of the brain? Says Chas v'Sholom, he didn't study at all medicine. He says the Mitre Rebbe knew it, how it's Odom Helion, that there's also a supernal man, the spiritual man, Odom Helion Alatise, and everything, and we are a replica of this Odom, not Odom, but Salmedi, we are made in the image of Odom Helion. Whatever it is in Odom Helion, in the spiritual realm, this must be also in the physical realm. So Mele, the Mitre Rebbe saw what's above, so he knows also how it's below. The same thing it also. Once we understand the Levushim, the Gashmis, we understand the Levushim in Ruchnis. Or from the Levushim in Ruchnis, we understand how the Levushim are in Gashmis. So here, the Alter Rebbe says, the Machshava, Dibur, and Maise are infinitely encased, the Alter Rebbe says, higher. It's only garments for the Neshama, for Nefesh Ruach Neshama, and never those garments are far superior to the garments of to the Nefesh Ruach Neshama. Why is it? Here in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe doesn't explain the reason, but it's explained elsewhere. The Neshama comes, ladies and gentlemen, from the Malik Alamim. This is called Oir Amak, Oir Pnimi. The Levushim come for Oir Makiv, just like a Neshama, a Levush, surrounds, encompasses a person from outside, a Makiv. Likewise, also the Levushim, the Ruchnizik Levushim of the Neshama, come from a much higher level than the Nefesh itself. Nefesh comes only from a Malek Lamim, from which is Ishtalshelus, or Agvul, whereas the Levushim come from a much higher Madrege, come from Oira Sevkam, Oira Maki, Oira Brigvul. And this is the if it's a Kedusha, it brings a tremendous union of a Kedusha, and if it's Chas v'Sholom, in Klippas, he can do much a hirhura avera, Chazal tell us. A person also thinks about avera as the hirhura avera, for Zeus and so on, is kashim avera, the reverse of avera itself. Why? Because the machshava are levushim, and the levushim come from a very high madrege, from a transcendent light, or a makiv. So it can affect the person, and it can affect the neshama much more than just the food or so on. Let me just quote from the Rebbe, from the first one, the Rebbe Maimer, about Gashmis, Ruchnizik Levushim. It's the power. And then will be also from the Rebbe Shab. By Maimer, this Maimer is from Tov Reish Tzadik Tes. And this is Omed page 142. The Rebbe says, the Friedrich Rebbe Maimer, Levush Mechabed Sodom, a garment glorifies or honors a person. Umalo is it can lift him up, the mile yoino to a very high level, as enolfierkoi, completely out of proportion to the level of this person. Levushim can lift up a person to a madrege, which a person with his own neshome could never reach such a madrege. Umhusikla kamasa idua dal trebes, the Friedrich Rebbe says in the Maimer, and the well known story, the Rabbeinu Zoken of dal trebe. Rod Altrebe once saw as Echad Mibale Asokim, one of the person, the businessman, and as a take of Ach Petros immediately after he passed away, this person, Ich nicht zule Gan Eden, der imitli, without Kafakella, without Chibutakever, without Gehenna, without any cleansing, immediately put him into the highest Madrig of Gan Eden, when he's alle, the Rebbe, when he's alle, the Madrig El Yonu, he became on such a high Madrig, be Yoser, the Toma Rabin Alze, the Rebbe saw what happened to his Neshama, they put him to the highest Madrig in Gan Eden. The Rebbe couldn't understand in what schools, how come this ordinary person, a businessman, should be able to be put to such a high Madrig. Afterwards, the Alter Rebbe found the answer. Omar and the Alter Rebbe said, "Kizocha lezeh, why did this person merit to be able to go to such a high madrege in Gan Eden? Neshoyla levush gevoyim, his garments were tremendously pure, holy, pure garments, very high garments. Ish ha'hu hoya boki beteire b'mishne b'alper." This person knew Teire or Mishnas, Balpeh, and continuously, whenever at a spare time, the whole man Ponu Masokov, Chozer Aleim, continuously, he used to recite Teire, Tilim, or Mishnayas, and the Alter Rebbe says, Dibur Machshove, in Dibur Machshove, and the Alter Rebbe says, these Dibur Machshove are very special garments. These garments can elevate a person to such a level. It's complete. For example, a person is on a shomer, let's say, from the Olam Asiyah. Through the garments, he can be elevated to Olam Yetzirah, to Olam Yebriyah, to Olam Atzilus, to the highest madrigas. Musiklav. And then the Friedrich Rebbe explains on the basis of this Alter Rebbe that the garments are such a powerful thing, can elevate a person to a level which is completely out of proportion to the essence of this person. Then the Rebbe goes in, Lochin, a person should be very careful, since garments have this power, a person should be very, very careful about his gashmit garments, because pull him down just like he can push you up, propel to such high madrege, Rachmon Letzlon, garments, if they are not kosher garments. Everybody knows what I mean by not kosher garments. So Mele, the Rebbe says, just like he can pull you up to such high madrege, can push you down, 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 Achmonson, very low. This is what the Friedrich Rebbe says. Let me tell you also briefly what the Rebbe Shab says. Begodim Gashmim, as they come from Chetetz Adas, they have the power, just like Chetetz Adas can be, Toiv or Ra. And therefore, anybody indulges that always has to have the most fashionable Vahidur, Vahidur. If a person will indulge in dafting, garments have to be the latest fashion. Let alone, not only the latest fashion. If they're not kosher with yosher, Rachmonetzlan, the garments are not sneers dik, so that the Friedrich Rebbe says, Moiridus a nefesh me'oid Rachmonetzlan, lowers the person. You can see it's only just a little neckline, or a little mice. So the Rebbe says, if Chas v'Shalom, these garments are not the way they should be, Moirites a nefesh me'oit rachmonet etzlon. Kiyedua, and the Rebbe continues, Kiyedua, the taive sabagodim, the taive the yitzhara for garments, grew are much worse, harbe yosimi taives achil v'shtiyah. Some people are not so careful about achil v'shtiyah, it's also terrible. The Rebbe says, the Indian Chas v'Shalom people don't obey the proper kosher tzniyazdik garments. Grew a harbe yoser much worse than the tayves from achil v'shtiyah, the food. The yetzer hara, the tayve for it, is much, much more stronger, more potent. The gia moed benafshay, it touches very deep, it contaminates, pollutes the nefesh, rachmonetzlan, very deep. But come on, then you can look it up. The whole mimer there. On the then there, just let me conclude what the Rebbe Shab concludes. Kamosh and Nagela Inyan Habegodim, and everything is in balance. How much a person is Chas v'Shalom not careful about the Begodim, but Taino can rejoice these non-kosher garments. The midah kezois commensurate in the same proportion, misrachik mehergesh toiv lerkus. This person becomes distant and further away from having any feeling for Kedusha. I don't think we have to add much more. We can see it. That for the sin for those people, for Rachmon Etzlan, are not careful, not scrupulous. But then from garments, of course, it's not only garments, many other areas as well. But since I was asked to speak about the garments, and not only garments, the power of garments, I don't have to mention, everybody knows what goes on, especially in those families where the mother is not 100% careful about it. What happens to their children? He the Rebbe says, Nagia be'od benefesh. Let me just tell you now a story. Years back, it was asked here, Lubavitch wanted to make a program on television about Kabbalah. They asked somebody should be sent from Lubavitch on this program, it's a secular program, speak about Kabbalah, about a representative from Kabbalah, from Lubavitch. So I was asked I should go on this television program, TV program, and speak the essence, the meaning, and so on of Kabbalah. This was Thursday night. Motzei Shabbos, somebody calls me up. Says, Rabbi Bengel, I'd like to make an appointment. I'd like to see you with my son. And as soon as possible. So I tell him, what's the hurry, and where you get my telephone number? He says, I saw you on the interview on this program on TV about Kabbalah. Says, I have a son. My son became a radical leftist. He studies in Stony Brook University. He fell in love with a shikseder. They are engaged already. And he has no interest whatsoever but Yiddishkeit. Whenever he comes to our home, he lives out with the shikseder. Whenever he comes to our home, I speak with him about anything about Yiddishkeit, he doesn't want to hear about it. Whenever he comes, nothing who could trigger his interest. This time, Thursday, he says, came to our house, and this was the program about Kabbalah. I called him over. I asked, maybe you are interested to see this program. He came and listened. This program was over an hour, and he says he didn't take off his eyes from this program. So I thought to myself, since he's not interested in anything, but he's interested in Kabbalah, so maybe you can do something, maybe I can bring him over to you. He says, okay, next Sunday night, I always give a shir, a class, Sunday, but you can come over at 11 o'clock at night, then I'll be able to see him. Ladies and gentlemen, both came over. The father was a manufacturer of ladies' apparel, lived in Flatbush, very, very rich. They come from Hungary, but unfortunately, they came to America, they became fry, completely fry. He worked in his factory, Shabbos, and so on. Anyways, he came over Sunday night. We had a discussion. We started our discussion. So then his father says, with tears in his eyes, he says, Danny, what do I ask of you? They ask you so much. Only don't marry a shiksa. Be like me. I also don't put on tefillin. I don't ask you to put on tefillin. I don't ask you to keep Shabbos. Also don't keep Shabbos. I didn't ask you to eat kosher. The only thing, be like me. I married a Yiddish wife, your mother. Be like me. And with tears in his eyes. You know what Danny answered? Pa, I'm exactly like you. How so? Your father kept Shabbos? You don't keep Shabbos. Your father ate kosher? You don't eat kosher. Your father put on tefillin? You don't put on tefillin. So you don't act like your father, so I don't have to act like my father. That's what he answered him. I'm exactly like you. But one step further. He didn't keep Shabbos. He married a shiksa. He says, I'm exactly like you. I said to the father, you see what your son tells you. I promise you, if you start keeping Shabbos, I don't ask anything else, only Shabbos. I promise you, I'll make back your son should be a firm person. He leave his shiksa, he marry a Yiddish girl, and he be a shomer Torah mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs. But you have to promise me that you are going to keep Shabbos. He says to me, Rabbi Mengel, anything you can ask me, Shabbos is for me the most important day. I cannot keep Shabbos. So I told him, if that's the case, you cannot keep Shabbos, I cannot help you, son. But on the other hand, if you promise me, truly, genuinely, keep Shabbos, I guarantee you I'm going to make back your son, Hashem Eteinu Mitzvahs. He says, let me discuss with my wife. Yeah, he said, maybe I'll do this mitzvah, that mitzvah. I said, no, only Shabbos. So he said, let me discuss with my wife. He came back a week later. They took upon themselves, because they were absolutely devastated their son should marry a shiksa. So they took upon themselves to keep Shabbos. So I said to him, if that's the case, you genuinely, honestly keep Shabbos, so send back Danny to me. Came back next Thursday. I asked him, tell me, is there anything what you like in Yiddishkeit? We can discuss it. We can study it. Tell me anything about Yiddishkeit that you like. He says, nothing, nothing, nothing. I don't like anything about Yiddishkeit. So I tell him, a history, a culture for 3,000 years. There's nothing what you like. I thought to myself, you tell me like chont, I'll discuss a picabole chont. I tell them big kugel. Anything that tell me something which you like about for Yiddishkeit. He says, nothing, nothing, nothing. So then I tell him, it's impossible. So then he tells me, Kabbalah. He says, okay, I'm going to study with you Kabbalah. What do you want? I said, Zohar. We study Zohar. He came to me several weeks with the shiksa. We're studying Zohar. Then I told him, but you see, for Zohar, you can study for an hour or two, one line, two lines. Let's switch to a safer, which will be able to explain it, will be much more easier to understand it. So start to study Tanya. Ladies and gentlemen, believe me, after I learned with him Zohar for a few weeks, I learned with Tanya a few weeks, the shiksa disappeared. Not disappeared, he gave up on the shiksa and he broke up with her and didn't study, I didn't come anymore. Eventually he became a mamesh at shomer Torah mitzvahs to the extent he married a Beis Yankov girl. And I was there to study Kiddushin. And I was afterwards and a son, I was the sandik. And I usually don't tell the Rebbe things which happens about what I do. I don't know, I had to go, I went to the Yechidus, and this happens. I tell the Rebbe the whole story. And I tell the Rebbe that this person wasn't interested in anything. And I said, how is it possible? I catched him, I catched him. It must be something which he liked. I said, Kabbalah. Believe me, the Rebbe said, what? Kabbalah? The Rebbe with a hand like this. Kabbalah, the holiest of the holiest. But after this, Kabbalah brought him back at the side, and he became mamesh Hashem Torah mitzvahs, and his children, and he made from his parents, his brother became Hashem Torah mitzvahs. But what do we see from this story? People think I can be a little bit lenient. My neckline won't be so down all the way to my chvestish was, but anyways, just a little bit, or my sleeve won't be just a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, from this little bit, but you children won't be a little bit, just as he said. I'm exactly like you. You mother went with sneers dick, and you start to be a little bit lenient. So may they be also lenient, but you went away from the derech, from your mothers, or from your parents. The child will go further away. And here we see what it can do to the extent that he wanted only be like me. He says, I'm like you. And went to shiksa. The Achmonet Zolim, we see it. Those who don't keep 100% sneezdik. What did they do to their children? The children are innocent. It's not their fault. But it's automatically, just like he said, I'm exactly like you. Those people who don't go in the tzniyazdik derech, they has shown the damage to the neshama of their children. And after the child, not only about Chazal tell us, Bita kamo be'ima, lack of derech eretz, lack of obedience, and what goes on Rachmon Etzlan. Of course, there are other reasons also. That's the only reason. But this is also one of those components. What Chas V'Sholom can do, that lack of obedience, lack of Yiddishkeit, and so on and so forth. Somebody once asked, I mentioned this to somebody, he says, but don't be see from people, far from homes. The children also dropped away, went away. So how can you say this is one of the main reasons? Lack of taras mishpoche, scrupulously. Or lack of sneer scrupulously. This causes contaminates the neshama of their children. But how do we see, don't we see also? But from parents and good parents. And nevertheless, chas v'shalom, what happens to their children? So as I mentioned, that's not the only reason. But this is also one of the components, one of the ingredients of Rachmon Letzlan, what can happen to a Yiddish child. But let me tell you, a ma'aseh with the Rebbe. There came a Gerel Chosid to the Rebbe. And he said to the Rebbe, crying, his son went away completely away from Yiddishkeit. And he was generations after generations of a Gerel Chosidim. Shomer Torah mitzvahs. He says, even here I came to America, I have to work hard to eke out a panoseh and not to work Shabbos and so on. And what happened to my son? He went away completely Yiddishkeit. So he cried to the Rebbe, Rebbe, the Welt sagt, the Welt says, Apple fällt nicht weit von Bäumen. The apple doesn't fall forth from the tree. If I'm a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, how come this apple went away completely from the tree? He became a fry person. So the Rebbe answered, when is this applicable? When do we say this saying, as an apple falls is weit vom Bäum, in normal times? But how about with a storm wind? It's raging a storm wind. So we always say the apple will fall and it will unfold near the tree. So the Rebbe says, with a storm wind, so the wind will carry away the apple far away. Although usually the apple should fall near the tree. But this is only when it's not a storm wind. But the storm wind carries away. The Rebbe says, nowadays, we are living not in normal times. We are living in a storm situation. And Rachmon Letzlan, what goes on outside and inside. So the Rebbe says, we have to have special precautions. If this is even good homes, because the outside the friends and so on and so forth, I'm sure we're going to speak about television and magazines and the look later. But anyways, so the Rebbe says, if this was always necessary to have this precaution, how much more so in our time, when we're living in this storm wind, so especially the precautions of tznius and taras hamishpoche is so important. I just want to also leave here with the importance, the greatness, the benefits of tznius. Yesterday was Shavuos. The hero of the whole story of Ruth is obviously Ruth. Who was Ruth? As she came back to Israel, Ruth was a poor widow, no food, no clothes, nothing. And suddenly she became the Ema Malchus. From Ruth came out the royal dynasty of David HaMelech and Melech HaMashiach, Mashiach ben David. How did such a, she was a proselyte, not even a Jewish stock, a Geoiris. What was the schus that Ruth should have such a merit schus, which no other woman has the schus as Davke Malchus ben David? Should emerge from this woman, from this Ruth. Chazal tell us, what did Boaz, was a widow. What had Boaz, and he was looking for a wife. What did suddenly Boaz become interested in Ruth? He says, the Chazal tell us, time doesn't permit me to elaborate on this, Moiriniket Sneas, how Ruth acted when she had to glean, had to collect the stalks of corn and all this food, how she in the field, how she acted when she was standing, the stalks, anything which fell down, she didn't bend down, she not should be exposed, her legs for the back, but Chazal tells the Moiridika Moiridika from Tznius, and for this reason, Boaz saw this Tznius. From this has to come out Malchus Beis David, and that's why he married only the schus of Tznius. So we see the benefit. We discussed Chas v'Shalom, what comes out from lack of Tznius, and here we see and the same thing also we find Rebbe Kiva. Who was Rebbe Kiva? A plain, orderly shepherd. A shepherd by Kalba Sabua. And you realize who became this Rebbe Kiva? The entire Tishbal Perashbi, Otanoim, Olamor, everything is based upon the teachings of Rabbi Kiva. Who was Rabbi Kiva? An ignoramus, till 40 years he never learned anything. And he was a plain shepherd, a plain worker, Bakal Besabua. Can you imagine Rachel, his daughter, could have made anybody to whom he wanted, she wanted? And the Chazal tell us, whom did she choose, Rabbi Kiva, Rachel? Davke Rabbi Kiva. Why was he was so rich? He was so beautiful, so pretty, so smart. She saw the Chazal tell us one thing, how he ate and how he dressed himself, how he behaved. The utmost of tzniut is not only for, pertains not only for women, it is also for men. When she noticed his moedike tzniut, she says, if he's such a man, I want to marry. And she encouraged him, she go away to learn. Remember, he learned 12 years, and then it was 24 years. And the whole Tesh Baal Peh is based upon Rabbi Kiva. The Rebbe, let me just conclude. The Rebbe says, if a person wants a broche, the gute kinder, have nachas from kinder, so meiles, tznias, the Rebbe, many letters, and the Rebbe says, if a person wants to have panose, if a person doesn't have panose, so tznias, and the Rebbe mentions a whole litany of broches. So meile, which mother wouldn't want to do everything for a child? If a mother realizes, if I get put in milk on his food, this will harm the child. Would a mother do it? Ladies and gentlemen, there cannot be a bigger harm what you do, what one does to the child, by not acting seriously, not only dress in garments and clothes, but in many, many other areas which we don't discuss today. If you act with sneersdik, you bring the best vitamins, spiritual vitamins and physical vitamins, healthy, nachas rocha, nachasdik children, good children. If chas v'sholom, you act for momentary pleasure, or chas v'sholom for other reasons, not sneersdik, you just can't imagine you poison the neshama of your child, and we see what goes on. So let me just conclude with one Maimar Chazal. Eibishter wanted Adam and Chava should be one being. Everything was created in multiples. Only man was created one. Because husband and wife is one neshama, and also one body. So the extent, so for this reason, that Hashem created Adam Rishon, he didn't create Adam and Chava and marry them together. But Eibishter created Adam, and from Adam himself, from a part of him is Chava. This is discussed at Inyan, very beautiful, with the Gematrias, with the Apikabola. But anyways, be it as it may, so then the Eibishter said, from which part should I create Chava? Since it has to be Adam and Chava, all one being, one entity, which part should I create Chava? So the Eibishter, as the Chazal tell us, the Eibishter meditated for a long time, from which part should I create Chava? So the Eibishter says, Eila for me is nothing which I love more than sneers. Let me create Chava from a part which is hidden within the person. So the Eibishter created Chava from the tzela, from the rib which is hidden in the person. And the Chazal conclude, the Eibishter created Chava as he made every aver from the head down. He says, Rosh, Te Tznua. When he created the heart, Te Tznua. Every limb the Eibishter, but as he made Chava, on every limb, the Eibishter said, not once be tznua, but on every inch of every limb, individually, the Eibishter said, te tznua, she'en lo chaviva lafli yamokim, there isn't anything which the Eibishter loves more than if tznias. So if anything which can live with you, which we discussed here, people think, my neckline will be a little bit, nicht as a gefährlich, or the sheer, the blouse will be nicht as a gefährlich. So I just showed you with our trebuses, the garments are more powerful than the Neshama itself. The garments are more powerful than even the Kohen Gadol. What it can do. Just like Chatez Adas, you should know. In your hand is the name for Chatez Adas. You can bring through garments the highest Kedusha, the highest levels. We said this Ish Poshet. Even the Alter Rebbe was astonished. How can he reach such a high madrege? Until the Alter Rebbe found out it's because of his garments, Ruchnis garments. The same thing also, the Gashmis garments. So garments, either you can become good and your children can be perfect, or Achmonis, as the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe Shab says, Moid is a nefesh, Moid, very, very low. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Mengel. Take a moment, as if anyone has any questions, you can write them down and please bring them up. We'll bring it before Rabbi Mengel. It was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. His name was Rabbi Avraham Yaffe. And he lived in a city called Ursva. So he told the story that when he was young, he was a malamed in a little village, and he was also the sheikhet. He wouldn't be the sheikhet just for his little town, he was also the sheikhet for the villages nearby. Once the great news came that the Tzemach Tzedek is going to be traveling by on his way somewhere, he's going to be coming through their town, and it's possible he's going to spend a few days in that little village. They were all excited, they began all the preparations, they were getting ready. And of course, he's a sheikhet, he's going to shecht. He said, listen, he's going to wait. Once the Tzemach Tzedek comes, he'll show him the Khalif. And the Tzemach Tzedek will see the Khalif. So then the Tzemach Tzedek will be comfortable eating from his shechita. And so it was, he came taka, Tzemach Tzedek came to town. Before he shechted the chicken, he showed the Khalif to the Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek was very pleased. And he ate from his shechita the entire few days that he was in town. Like everybody else, he was in line and he went in for Yechidus. When he came into the Tzemach Tzedek appreciated, you know, that he was able to eat from his Shechita. So Tzemach Tzedek asked him, he says, tell me, what's your request? What do you want? So he told the Tzemach Tzedek, he says, I don't have any requests. Baruch Hashem, what I need, I have. He says, but I have a question that's been bothering me for a very long time. I learned Torah, I learned Gemara, I learned Rishonim, I learned Halacha, I learned Achronim. It's been bothering me. I see that there's many things that by the Rishonim were mutter, was permitted. They had, they were able to use, they did it. And then as time came on, the Achronim added a lot of chumris. A lot of things they added, a lot of things they made more strict. Things that used to be mutter are now usur, we don't use, we don't do. It creates a question in me. Is it possible that the Rishonim ate things that were usur? Is it possible they did things that were forbidden? So Tzemach Tzedek answered. He says, mutter and usur means the following. Mutter means this is open, this is free, this is available, this is not tied up, this is not bound by klippa. It's available for a yid to come and take this and elevate it. If he does it the Torah way, the proper way, l'shem shemayim, he can take this food and elevate it to kedusha. Also means that this is tied in the domain of klippa. And if the person, even if he would like to do it, and he does it with a bracha and with kavanah l'shem shemayim, he cannot elevate this food. When the neshamas were higher in the earlier generations, for them, they were able to elevate much lower things. But as the generations come down, they become lower. As Rabbi Mengel brought the story that we find ourselves in a time that it's a ruach she'ena metzuya, the spirit in the street is not the same that it used to be. There are many things that we need to be more careful about. And that's where the achreinim added a lot of chumris that we should be careful with. With your permission, I'm going to screen the questions. Some questions I will give Rabbi Mengel. If he chooses to answer them, I'll let him, but I'm not going to read them aloud. I don't know if he wants to answer those questions. There's a question here, can you compile a list of most important sichas of the Rebbe regarding women and snias? There actually is a paper, a sheet available by the table. You should be able to pick it up on your way in or on your way out with many references regarding the importance of snias. This is a question from Miguel. Where is the line between menschlich, proper, mesuder, and too much stylish, which is not snias?
Where is the line between menschlich, proper, mesuder, and too much stylish, not sneers. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a general mistake. Some people think to be tzniesdik, you have to be chnyokish. Absolutely not. You can be dressed very, very nicely, but should not be too much imois. Soro rochel, soro rivko rochel veleya. I'm sure when it says in fastoyer, fast smart, they were very pretty. Tznius does not mean a person should wear sacks, or a person should wear black stockings, or a person should wear a skirt all the way to the floor. You can go very stylish, very nicely, but it shouldn't be overdone. The tznius has to be as long as the sleeves are the proper length, the skirt is proper length, and the neckline is also properly done. So there is nothing wrong if you have a nice dress. On the contrary, there's many things which the Chazal tell us. A woman, she has to dress herself in a certain way that her husband, Chas v'Shalom, shouldn't look elsewhere, shouldn't think about somebody else. But anyways, you say it, stylish, as long as you can have, in Borough Park, you can buy, maybe he can it also. Nice dresses. And it's about tznisdik, there's nothing wrong which you can wear such a dresses. What's the next one?
What are the guidelines for a man's dress?
Again, this is everything depends. I wouldn't wear a white jacket. I wouldn't wear a white hat. I wouldn't go in the streets in sneakers. But for some other people, there's nothing wrong if they they work. It all depends on if each person who he is. That, for example, when a doctor, a lawyer, or somebody is in Manhattan, works in an office, he doesn't have to go dafki with black hats and a black hat, a black suit, and so on. It all depends. As long as it's a modest, sneezy suit, it's okay. This is a question, because this needs a lot of discussion. How can we be responsible for certain thoughts concerning the Yetzer Hara field? This is doesn't have so much to do with sneers, how a person can control his thoughts.
I hope that the principle of the Sifri is not here now, the Sifri before. Somebody asks the following question. Number one, teachers in the Sifke who are not so sneers in dress and teaching. How do we handle friends who are dressed right? Ladies and gentlemen, this maxim is the Sifke lately became greatly improved, but still there's a lot to be desired. And if a teacher doesn't dress herself sneezy, I don't think such a teacher should be hired. The question is, her husband learns in the Kollel, and she provides panosa. We cannot endanger and harm the children. What a child sees, especially in this early stage, when the child is, the shom is so impressionable, and sees that teacher comes and not sneezy, I'm not speaking sneersly. For example, she goes to face a dress in style. She said there's nothing wrong with it. She can go in style. But her sleeves and the skirt, etc., etc., I don't think such a teacher should have at all be taught, be teaching. She'll be hired, she'll be teaching in Pustitka. Because what she does, she harms and endangers the shamans of scores and scores of other children. So this is something which is more for the principal, for the administration. Any teacher doesn't belong in any school. The same thing also in yeshiva. If the teacher doesn't belong to the Mabuchi, doesn't go with the tzitzit Bushi, he doesn't should find himself a different profession, but he doesn't belong at all in a yeshiva. How do we handle friends not dressed right? It's also a very difficult thing. Of course, you have to try to influence, inspire, to speak with this person, but you, as the experience has shown, you do it slowly, and you do it not continuously, not going to be a great deal, but slowly, slowly, you can accomplish miracles.
Several questions were basically the same point, which is, how do we encourage tznius in the house and our daughters in tznius? Many of our daughters do know the importance and want to dress tzniusdik, but they claim peer pressure and friends makes them feel very uncomfortable to go in the way their mother is dressing and the mother would like them to dress. How do we deal with that?
It's also one of the maladies, the problems in our time. At home, the home is good, seems to be kosher in Russia, but they can see and have friends. The only thing which you have to do, first as mentioned before, change completely, radically the lack of sneers in the schools. It should not be, of course, it's not something you can do overnight. The schools themselves have to be, the teachers and so on, have to be changed. And slowly, slowly, it's not a process that you can do it one day or in one week. But a mother, a father should explain to the daughter, which, for example, the things which I just mentioned, that even about the lack of sneers, what does she do to herself and the human session to her children, with a story of Yankovim. Yankovim was a perfect tzaddik, and not a perfect tzaddik, but a tzaddik should be tzaddik, he keep them as Yankovim. And how my daughter and the influence it has in the young people. We start telling such stories with a child, slowly, slowly it might enter into the mind, into the heart of the child, and people are not obviously also copying her friends, and other than not, she should copy the friends should copy her, she should go to it. It's a difficult task, granted, very difficult, but the guy from himself, so tiny, what are you going to do? It has to be done not only by one person or one family, it has to be the schools and the shuls in 770 and the camps all over. And we will all join together to do this here for years, in the session slowly to succeed. Let me just tell you what I just mentioned before. Somebody from a prominent yeshiva came over to me and discussed the different sneers. He says, some teacher, he wanted to bring in more sneers in the school, and he said to me that the teacher themselves said, is blue banish to the caliph Jews? So how can you ask the Talmidus to be more seriously, look for blue to with the those children who have to be caliph? In other words, we want to lower ourselves to that level, and this is the excuse. That our children don't have to be seriously because they have to be mekayim. Chas v'sholom. The Chazal tell us, Rav Moshe Biklis saw he came to Babylonia. And he saw that a big belly, or a big pit. In this pit were a lot of snakes. So really, how did he improve it? Not he made linear, but he became even more prudent. Chas v'sholom to use an excuse that we have to be mekayim about the Hebrew. Therefore, the Shliach's wife doesn't have to go seriously. Or the Shriach himself down to the sneers, or in the school here, the principal should not impose a certain code of sneers because other girls won't come to our school. Half the show and pay this out. Now, the other said that we should be the last to go in style, different but not in style. Again, it all depends what you mean by style. If it's nicely dressed, yes. Style is that gorgeous style, jeans, and so on. Or for example, the style is such a style. I'm sure everyone understands the difference between nicely dressed and really nicely dressed and style, which is a gorgeous style. That's what I remember. What? Taylor Hopkins works in a camp, in a summer camp, in a polo shirt instead of a white shirt and black pants. There's a taken in my study. For better, for students, for the Shira Bakari, don't get just overnight camp, and in the camp in Maristan, the first director of this camp was my son. And I told him he should insist that anybody, any child who comes to camp shouldn't come with these polo shirts, with the orange emblazoned, all kinds of different things, I mean, you know, the emblazoned things. And he says it was difficult, but they accomplished it. And Baruch Hashem, since then, this camp only accept only such a children. We don't have these wild polo shirts and those wild designs. And from this camp come out only Chassidish children. So Mele, if this is the children you can do under safety, certainly a husband, the person that can also be a man that his wife doesn't. A question. A man that his wife doesn't dress seriously, should he be hired as a malamed, sheikh, etc.? I would be the principal, I would certainly not hire him. Because what we the children say, my Malama teaches me, tells me, or my teacher tells me about sneers, and he himself, his wife, acts like so and so. We of course, ultimately, we have to see what's going on in the epidemic of lack of sneers. We have to be able to be very, very strong. We have to take a very strong stand. But Malama's wife is absolutely not sneersy. He should find himself a different job, but certainly not Malama. Goes without saying, a sheikh, etc. Yes.
Thank you very much, Rabbi McDowell.